Good morning. Welcome to the Siyum HaMasechta. This is the last daf in the Masechta, Megillah Daf Lamed Beis. We are starting on Lamed Alf Lamed Beis, and we are about halfway down on the Amud. We're at the two dots at the junction of Tanis Brachos Veklalos, Emas Tikin Veklalos. It's right at the midpoint of the Amud. We're going through various Kriyas Torah throughout the year. So already the Mishnah gave us our marching orders. The Mishnah yesterday on Lamed Aleph, started on Lamed Amud Beis. Going to Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the mission's marching orders are, is that on Yontif, so as far as Kriyas HaTorah is concerned, you got to be topical. So during the course of the year, so we read from a section of the Torah, the Sedra. So how much of it do we read? So there's no instructions in terms of how much of it we're supposed to read. We have a cycle, our minhag, of course, is that we're going to be completing the entire Torah over the course of the year. As we already saw, there are variant minhagim in Eretz Yisrael. They used to have a minhag where it took them 3 years to get through the entire Sefer Torah. Fine. So over the course of the year, so there really is no instruction in terms of which parsha we should be reading by what week. However, when it comes to Yontif, so and other events, so you have to be topical. So the Mishnah quoted the pasuk Vayidaber Moshe Esmor Dei Hashem B'nei Yisrael, and Rashi says Mikan. Rashi back in the Mishnah. So when it comes to Moed, so there's a mitzvah, right? I bantered yesterday, not banter, but the Rashi over here, when he says mitzvah, what is he talking about? Mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah d'rabbanan. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read on Yontif about Yontif, maybe, yeah, right? It's possible. But anyway, but that's on Moed. But other events also require that we be topical, that we be thematically appropriate to the day. So we described yesterday the Ma'amados. So when you are laning the Ma'amados, now, right, most people do not know what the Ma'amados are, and that's simply because we no longer have it. But that when you have the Ma'amados, so then you're laning from Ma'isa Bracious. Go back to yesterday's daf for more discussion about the Ma'amados. Also, the end of Tanis, we discussed it in a lot more detail. Anyway, so we are now continuing about fast days and also Brachos Veklalos, Betanios. So on the fast days, where there is a specific kriya for the fast days, and also there is brachos v'klalos. Brachos v'klalos. So Rashi back in the Mishnah, when describing brachos v'klalos, so he writes, I'm reading the Rashi back in the Mishnah. So Rashi certainly gives us the indication that the brachos v'klalos is that which is read on the fast days. Now, it happens not to be our minhag. Our minhag is not to read from the brachos v'klalos. But anyway, we also are aware of the fact that when it comes to brachos v'klalos, so it occurs twice in the Torah. Once at the end of Sefer Vayikra, a second time at the end of Sefer Devarim. In Vayikra and Bechukosai, and Devarim in Kisavo. And so what we're learning together is that on the back in the day, they used to have a minhag that they would lane from the brachos v'klalos on a fast day, and the Rashi back in the Mishnah went on to describe, because basically it's going to encourage us to do tshuva, meaning that there's something called Schar Va'onesh. It's one of the Kari Imuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward and punish for all the decisions that we make. And so therefore, the Brachos HaKadosh are going to remind us of that fact. Okay. And inspire us to do tshuva. That is all but a summary of what we've seen, and let's just pick it up right where we left off. So Menahani Mili, so the Gemara says, now, I'm sorry, the Gemara is going on the last point, which is Ein Mafsikim Beklalos, which is that once you're laning from the Klalos, that's it. You're laning from the Klalos, and you do not pause once you're in the middle of the Klalos. You just simply go weiter, and to the point where you conclude. Menahani Mili. On that, the Gemara wants to know, how do I know Ein Mafsikim Beklalos? Am Rebbe Cher Bagam Da Amar Rav Asi Da Amar Kram Musar Hashem Bini Al Tim As. So as far as Musar is concerned, so we're not allowed to reject Musar. So, and if we were to stop, this is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. If we were to stop right in the middle of the Klalos, so that would show a disdain that we have to the Klalos. And so in order to not show disdain, so we go right through it. Okay. I certainly could have heard the argument that if you're just running right through it, it also shows a certain attitude. But I suppose what the Gemara is basically saying is that once you are stopping in the middle, it shows a certain amount of mias to the klalos. Reish Lakish Amar Lefishe in Omer Bracha Al Peranios. Reish Lakish gives a different reason why it is that we don't stop in the middle of the klalos. Because if we were to stop in the middle of the klalos, then what would happen? So we know that every ola is going to be making a bracha, both at the beginning and at the conclusion. And so therefore, if we were to be making, if we were to stop in the middle of the klal, so that by definition would require a bracha, an ein bracha, ein omrim bracha ala pranius. We don't want to attach a bracha to the pranius. Okay. Ela hecha avit. So the Gemara says, so what do you do? So tana kishu mascha mascha bepasuk shilafneim ukishu masayim masayim bepasuk shalachreim. So therefore, and this is in fact what we do, is that when we go through the klalos, and in order to ensure that there's no bracha that goes on the pranios, so therefore the ola is going to be getting, is going to be starting the kriya a little bit before the klalos. So that means to say that while you're still mid brachos, so that's where you would do the hafsaka for an aliyah. And then as far as the sof ha'aliyah, it's going to be after the klalos already been concluded. Am Rabbi Lo Shanu Ella B'Klal Shebetoros Kohanim. Ava Klal Shebishmish Natorah Posek. Now, so Abayi says, fine. So what we just learned together is that you cannot have a hafsaka in the klalos itself. Two different reasons why. Because of an attitude, because of the bracha, that we don't want to be going on the peronios. Abayi teaches us the following. This halacha that we just learned together is going only on the klalos in Bechukosai. It doesn't, this halacha does not apply to the klalos of Kisavo. Now, my timer. Now, the obvious question the Gemara asked is why? What's the difference between the two? Halala b'lashon rabim amuros u'moshe mipi agvura amaran, v'halala b'lashon yachid amuros u'moshe mipi atzman amaran. So he gives a really interesting answer, and that is that the klalos that were said in Parshas Bechukosai, that comes directly from Akash Baruch Hu, and the klalos that were said in Parshas Kisavo, that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, obviously, this Gemara is a... You gotta really work out the Gemara over here, because what the Gemara certainly sounds like it's saying is that the klalos of Kisavo is more motion than it is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, every single word, letter, right, of the Torah is mipi agvura. In other words, again, going back to the Ikari Emuna. So there is a discussion to be had about the last eight psukim of the Torah, which the Gemara Menachos has, and fine. But the idea over here that there's something in the Torah that's not mipi agvura, so that's it's right. It's a tenet. It's a tenet that we have that every single word of the Torah is mipi agvura. So when the Gemara over here says that the klalos in Kisavo is more from Moshe saying it than Akash Baruch Hu saying it, so that definitely requires better understanding. So just caution to the listener that despite the fact that the Gemara just said that's Moshe, so it has to be understood within a certain context. Obviously, the Gemara over here does not mean that it's Moshe on his own. It's just that you have to say something along the lines of Moshe is more of a conduit, so to say, in terms of the Klalos Achronos than the Rishonos. You'll say something along those lines. Levi Barbute Avakare Vigamigamgame, Kamed Rav Huna Ba'arure. The Gemara tells the following episode where you had a Balkari, his name was Levi, and he was reading from the Tochacha, and he was Megamgame. So as he was reading through the Tochacha, so he was, right, I don't want to say in a negative way, but he was mumbling. Okay. And as he was going through the Klalos, and various menhagim in terms of the Balkari and the Klalos, and so I'm not a Balkari, so I'm not in a position to say, but in other words, some Balkaris, so they run through it, especially the ones in Kisava. The ones in Kisava are particularly long, so they run through it. So, and some have the minhag of lowering their voice. Okay, I'll let the Balkaris dictate what the minhag is. But anyway, so he was mumbling. So Amar lo achanaf shecha. So achanaf shecha. So the way Rashi understands it is imrit soncha lahafzik pasuk hova takatz bikriyasan. Right. If you want, you could stop in the middle. In other words, now I'm a little bit unclear. Is he reprimanding him for mumbling? He's basically saying it's okay to mumble. I'm not perfectly clear, but certainly the way Rashi understands it is that look, right now if you want to take a break, you can take a break. So lo shanu ala klalo shebetoros kohanim aval shebet mishnah Torah posek, because, and this is how Rashi got to his understanding, because he then went on to say that look, even though we have a halacha of you're not allowed to pause in the middle of the klalos, that's only going on the klalos of toros kohanim. But as far as the klalos of Parshas Kisavo is concerned, the klalos of Sefer Devarim, so that you could be posting. You could stop in the middle. Okay. Tanya, continuing in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. about a dozen lines from the bottom. The Amud, Gemara quotes a brayso. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Ezra Tikan Lan Lisoshi Yukarin Klalo Shabbataras Koanim Kodem Atzeresu Uve Ushe BeMishnah Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so Ezra says that there should be two checkpoints as far as the klalos are concerned. Now, it happens to be that with our minug of reading the entire Sefer Torah over the course of 1 year, so for us it's easy. I'm just raising the question that once upon a time where there was a minug that it took him 3 years to read the Torah, so would Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's halacha apply? Now, seemingly the answer has to be yes, because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who is the misakein? Ezra. This goes all the way back to the time of Ezra. So I'm going to guess, but I'm guessing. I don't know this to be so, that even where they read the Sefer Torah in a three-year cycle, they still made sure to keep these checkpoints. What are these two checkpoints? So one is that when you get to Bechukosai should be the Shabbos right before Shavuos. And when you get to to the Tochacha of Kisavo, so that should be right before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And for us, it, in other words, it works out perfectly for us. Meaning, and obviously when setting up the Parshios, so we designed it this way. In other words, sometimes we have to double up on Parshios in order to get it, but we do so. And I say we, meaning it's the schedule has already been set in stone. But with this in mind, that the Bechukosai is right before Bamidbar, Bechukosai is right before Shavuos, and the Kisavo is right before Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, good. Now that we know about these checkpoints, so the simple question is, why? So the Gemara says, my time, Amar, by Vitem Reish Lakish Kadesh Tich La Hashanah, Vikilo Seha. No. Because basically, as we get to the end of the year, so we want the Klalos out of the way. Meaning before the new year begins, so we don't want to start a new year with Klalos. So therefore, as the year is ending, okay, put the Klalos at the end of the year. So that way the new year starts nice and fresh without the Klalos. So the Gemara says, okay, so reading Parshas Kisavo and the Klalos in Kisavo right before Rosh Hashanah, I perfectly understand that. Meaning that's Rosh Hashanah. I get it. So and you want to start the year fresh. So get the Klalos in at the end of the year. But Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah. What are you talking about? And we should be reading Bechukosai right before Shavuos because Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah. What is that? So the Gemara says in Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says no, Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah. So did now we learned in the Mishnah this goes back to Rosh Hashanah Atzeres Al Peres Ha'ilan that the Atzeres is a beginning of the year. It's a Yom Hadin for Peres Ha'ilan. So it is a Rosh Hashanah. Now it happens to be there are other Rosh Hashanahs as well. Meaning, but there are only two sets of klalos. Okay, fine. Tanya, we learned in a brayso, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Im Yom Melacha, Zakenim Sesor, V'yiladim B'nei, Sesor V'al Tivnei. Mimnei, Shestira Zakenim Binyan, or Binyan Na'arim Stira. So if, let's say you have competing advice. Now, this is a piece of Agadata, and not even Agadata, it's just Chachma, if you will. It's like a piece of Mishlei here in the Gemara. But anyway, but the reason why it comes up over here is because it's the same Baal Memra, meaning we were just learning the halacha of Reb Shimon ben Elazar about Ezra being misakin that you have to read the klalos at certain checkpoints of the year. So the Gemara now brings another halacha of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and that is that you have competing advice. So what the zakenim are telling you to do is that it's time to tear it down. Now what the it is, not totally sure, but regardless, if the sage advice is tear it down, and the younger generation is saying no, let's build it up. So you should be listening to the sage advice. Because when they say tear it down, so that is destruction for the purpose of construction. Now again, I don't know what exactly we're describing over here, right? It's right now, at least to me, it's vague and ambiguous, but certainly the idea is that even though the sage advice is seemingly telling you that time to knock it down, that's sage advice and they have a better look at things. They have obviously life experience and they just know more. So when they're telling you to take it down, so it's much better to listen to them. Even though the young advice is that you should build up, and generally speaking, building is a good thing, but listen to the sage advice. V'simla davar Rechava ben Shlomo. And just as a way to remember and to recall, so just think about Rechava ben Shlomo, where the nation was divided amongst the generation of Rechavan. And he was quote unquote the younger generation. And meanwhile, For him, it didn't work out well. Tana Rabbanan Malka Moshe Mafsikim B'Shabbos Shachri Sham Korin B'Mincha Sham Korin B'Sheni Sham Korin B'Chamisha Sham Korin L'Shabbos Abar Divrei Rebbe Meir. So as we've already established, we know that there is a laning that is set up for Shabbos afternoon at Mincha, Monday morning, Thursday morning. So according to Rebbe Meir, really interesting shita, and that is that, look, what you're going to do is that you'll read some of the psukim on Shabbos Mincha of the upcoming Parsha, and then Monday morning, you'll just simply go weiter. In other words, wherever you ended off on Shabbos Mincha, you pick it up on Monday morning. Thursday morning, again, you'll pick it up where you left off Monday morning, and then Shabbos, wherever you left off on Thursday morning. Okay, that is Shitas Rebbe Meir. Now, as you can imagine, we don't pass like Rebbe Meir, as the Gemara itself will point out in just a moment, and again, this is the kind of thing where we go to show we know where the conclusion is, but that Shitas Rebbe Meir. Comes out according to Rebbe Meir, you miss Monday morning at Shul, and that's it, you also miss some of the laning. Okay, but anyway, so Rebbe Meir believes that every one of the laning opportunities is really part and parcel of the Sedra, so to say. And okay, good. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Makom Shemafsikim B'Shabbos Shachri Sham Korin B'Mincha V'Sheni V'Chamishi V'Shabbos Haba. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The place where you stopped off last Shabbos, so that's where you're going to be picking it up on Monday and Thursday and the Shabbos afternoon. And next Shabbos, you're just going to be starting where you left off last Shabbos. So it's exactly what we do. In other words, the Sedra on Shabbos is going to start where we left off last Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Zera Halacha, Makom Shemafsikim B'Shabbos Shachri, Sham Korin B'Mincha V'Sheni V'Chamishi, Ule Shabbos Haba. So your starting point is always going to be wherever we left off last Shabbos. Okay, good. As we're all familiar, as we all know. Now, V'Leim Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara just simply wants to know, fine. So you paskin the Halacha, perfect. Why not just simply say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, why did you have to say over the halacha? We know now the shitas and their positions. Why did you have to say over the halacha? Just say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So as we now turn to the top of Lamed Beis and Aleph, Mishum Da'afchi Lahu. So the Gemara says, because what happens is that on this particular machlokas, so there are different girsas. Some have the girsa of Rabbi Meir saying the position that you should be starting where you last left off last Shabbos. And Rav Yehuda being the counter argument. So in other words, there are various nuschaos in terms of how this machlok is presented. So because of the confusion, if I said the halach is like Rav Yehuda, well, which nusach of Rav Yehuda? So for purposes of clarity, we're going to say the halacha is, instead of attributing it to the name, we'll just say over the halacha. Where do you start on Monday? Where do you start on Thursday? Where do you start on Shabbos? Wherever I last left off last Shabbos. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, top of the Amud. Poseach v'roa golom v'varach v'chozer u'poseach v'korei divrei Rebbe Meir. Okay, so how to do an aliyah? Okay, so it's such practical halacha, right? You get an aliyah. So how exactly are you going to be making a bracha? The birchas haTorah. There's a bracha before. There's a bracha afterwards. So what is the correct nusach in terms of not nusach? What is the correct procedure in terms of the bracha? So Shitas Rebbe Meir is the following. And that is, you open up the Sefer Torah, see where you're about to lane from. Then what you're going to do is you're going to roll the Sefer Torah up, close it, so to say. You'll make the bracha, and then afterwards you open it again. So that's Shitas Rebbe Meir, right? You look around, you'll see that's what a lot of people do. Okay, my unscientific research tells me that I'd say most people do that. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Posech V'ro Mevarch V'Korei. So Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, what you're going to do is you're going to open it up. You'll look inside to see where we're laning from. You'll make the bracha while the Sefer Torah is still open, and then you start reading from the Sefer Torah. Okay. Now, in terms of the Shita Rav Yehuda, so Me'od Mistaber, it makes a lot of sense. In that, so generally speaking, when you want to do a mitzvah, so you make the bracha immediately prior to doing the mitzvah. So over here, so the bracha is going on the Kriyas HaTorah, so it makes a lot of sense that you keep the Sefer Torah open. In order to make sure that immediately after the bracha, you can go right into the kriya. Now, granted, our minhag nowadays is that the person making the bracha is not going to be doing the kriya satara. We have a designated bal kori, but still, if the sefer Torah is open, so you'll be in a perfect position to go ahead and to immediately read from the Torah immediately after the bracha. So if, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, you don't need much in terms of defending his position. His position is ma'od mistaber, right? How many times have you seen that, right, when most people who are closing the Sefer Torah, after they write, so you make the bracha with a closed Sefer Torah, you open it up, and now everyone's looking for the spot. Okay, so Rav Yehuda's position is easy to defend. Rav Meir's position, so that needs a little bit of an explanation. Meaning Rav Meir says, so what you're going to do is that you close the Sefer Torah, you'll make the bracha, and then you open it again. So what is behind the Shita of Rav Meir? That's the Gemara's question. So my time at the Rav Meir, kedu ula, damar ula, mimne ma'amra, akor, betor, lo yisayel, limitur gamanim. So why is it that the Kari B'Tor, the one who's reading from the Torah, so he shouldn't help out the Meturgaman? Meaning, let's say the Meturgaman, whose job it is to translate the Torah, so either his voice is a little bit weak or he's just getting stuck in a couple words. So maybe the Baal Kari, so give him an assist. The Baal Kari will tell him, right, here's what you'll say and here's what you'll say. So the halacha is no. Now again, the halacha is, we don't have a Meturgaman. So, but still, the once upon a time when there was a Meturgaman, so the halacha is that the Baal Kari may not assist the Meturgaman. So question, why not? So Kadesh Shalom Yomru Targum Kasab Torah. So because what's going to happen is that if you have the Baal Kari assisting a Meturgaman, so the casual observer who's watching what's happening is going to think to himself, oh, the Meturgaman says it, so that's translation. But if I'm hearing it from the Baal Kari, oh, that's because it must be written in the Torah. And so the casual listener is going to think to himself that that Targum is in the Torah. Now, really unusual Rashi over here. It's not unusual, but Rashi writes, and then what's going to happen? Well, then what's going to happen is that the next time he writes the Sefer Torah, he's going to write the Targum in the Torah itself. It's funny. It's like it's such a, who are we describing over here? Someone who knows enough how to write a Sefer Torah, but is now going to be confused when he hears about Kore saying over some of the Targum, and he's going to write the Targum into the Torah itself? Okay. It sounds like this Venn diagram is really, really small in terms of the person is able to read to write a Sefer Torah and at the same time is going to be confused when hearing the Targum from the Baal Kari. Anyway, regardless, so that's the concern. So Hachinami, so the Gemara says, so we're going to borrow that Svara and use it over here. Hachinami kidei shelo yamru birchas shelo yamru birchas ksuvim b'Torah. So what Rav Meir therefore is concerned about is that if you open up the Sefer Torah and then you make a bracha, so the casual observer is going to say to himself, hey, the Sefer Torah is open, he's making a bracha, ah, that bracha must be in the Torah itself. And so in order to avoid the confusion, that's why you roll the Sefer Torah. Good, that's the svara behind Rabbi Meir. And the counter svara, the Gemara says, we all could have figured it out, and Rabbi Yehuda targum ikal amite brachos leikal amite, and the counter svara would be, look, if people are going to get confused by targum, meaning if they hear the targum from the Baal Kari, so then I can understand. People may think, okay, good, the Targum's in the Torah. In other words, because it's obviously, it's part and parcel of what's being read. It's a translation of what's being read. But if we're talking about the brachos, like who's going to think the brachos are in the Torah? No one's going to think the brachos are in the Torah. Okay, so the way it comes out now is that the machlokes between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda, should I roll up the Sefer Torah prior to the brachos of Torah? So according to Rabbi Meir, you should roll the Sefer Torah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you shouldn't. And the competing svaras back and forth in terms of whether we should be concerned about people's confusion or not. So Amar Ebizera, Amar Rav Masna, Halacha Posech, Varo, Mevarach, V'Korei. So the Gemara says, as far as Halacha is concerned, so keep the Sefer Torah open. Meaning, like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. V'Leim Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, now why not just simply say that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum, the Avche Lahu. So the Gemara says, well, because again, once again, we have competing nuschaos in terms of what the correct nusach of the Braisa is. Some have it flipped, where Rav Yehuda says that you should keep the Sefer Torah open. Rav Meir says you should close it. And because of the various nuschaos that we have for the Braisa, so therefore the easiest way to deal with it is just simply say the halacha is, without giving the attribution because we're confused, so just say the halacha. The halacha is, keep the Sefer Torah open. Okay. From the Gemara's conclusion over here, seems pretty clear that there's a correct way to get an aliyah, and that is that you open the Sefer Torah, look where you're starting from, and keep the Sefer Torah open. So you'll notice that many people do in fact close the Sefer Torah. Is there a defense of their position, even though we just went through the Gemara? And the Gemara was very clear in terms of its conclusion. So there is a defense for their position, but at this point in time, I'm not going to, right, I like defending Jewish people, but I'm not going to, right now I'm not going to defend. And even for us, who do follow the Shita of the Gemara, which again is the Gemara's very clear conclusion. So various minhagim in terms of what you should be doing while making the bracha. Meaning, do we still maintain some degree of the svara of, I don't want people to be confused. So, all right. Anyway, there is more to be said, a lot more to be said regarding the halachas of getting an aliyah. But at least now, we know the Gemara. That much we know, but there's much more to go. in terms of the halachas of getting an aliyah. Amar Abizir Amar of Masa Aluchos Vabimos Ein Bam Mishum Kedusha. So this is a callback to what we did earlier in the Masechta regarding Tashmishi Kedusha, Tashmishi Mitzvah. Anything that is servicing a Sefer Torah has Tashmishi Kedusha. The Gemara says that Luchos and Bimos Ein Bam Mishum Kedusha are not considered Tashmishi Kedusha. The Luchos are not Tashmishi Kedusha. Obviously, we don't, when we say Luchos over here, we do not mean the Luchos, obviously. So good. So I know what we don't mean. What do we mean? When the Gemara over here is describing something which is servicing a Sefer Torah, but is not have, it's not Tashmisha Kedusha, and it's called the Luchos. So what is that? So Rashi says, I struggle. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi. Lo yadati mahein. So Rashi writes right off the bat, I don't know what we're describing over here. V'yesh mefarshim, I'm just reading, I'm continuing Rashi. V'yesh mefarshim hein asuyim l'sfarim shalanu she'enam asuyim bilgulyon. Sounds like some sort of book cover. I'm really not sure. A picture here would be worth more than 1,000 words. I don't know. But Rashi starts off with the admission. He's really not sure what the luchos are that we're describing over here. It's something used to encase a Sefer Torah, but again, that's a vague translation, and I'm not really sure what we're describing. Okay, so the Luchos and the Bima, Ein Bam Mishum Kedusha, so they don't have Kedusha. So the Bima over here, what are we describing? The Bima where we put the Sefer Torah on? That, of course, is Tashmisha Kedusha. So once again, I turn back to Rashi. Rashi says, no. Shayu Osim Lamelch Beparshas Hamelch Daminim Bemesechet Sota. The Bima over here is a platform made for the king. So on Sukkos at Hakel, so a bima was made for the king. The king would be reading from Sefer Devarim. So that platform is not considered Tashmishe Kedusha, even though the king is going to be on it reading from the Sefer Torah. But still, it's too far removed. So therefore, it does not have Tashmishe Kedusha. Amar Rav Shaftaya, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hagol Sefer Torah Tzarich Shia Amidenu Al Tfar. So when rolling the Sefer Torah, so one should make sure that you are rolling it on the stitching. Hagol Sefer Torah, again, I go back to Rashi. Rashi, Yamiden al Atfar, Kineged Atfar, Shesham Rai Lahadko Yafeh. So in other words, it's just a good place for it to have a nice tight roll. The Amrav Shavtai, Amrav Yochanan, Hagol Sefer Torah, Golo mi Bechutz, Vein Golo mi Bifnim. Let's say you're rolling the Sefer Torah, so roll it from the outside and not from the inside. From the outside, not from the inside. What are we talking about, outside, inside? So the way Rashi describes it over here is as follows. We're talking about where a person is by himself and he's rolling the Sefer Torah all by himself. Okay, so, one of the sections is obviously more close and proximate to him. The other section is further away from him. And now, if you're rolling it from the side closer to you, so you run the risk of the other side of the Sefer Torah basically unraveling, unrolling, and going down the floor. Obviously, that'd be a bizayon to the Sefer Torah. Therefore, what you should do is that when rolling by yourself, make sure to be rolling it from the outside, not from the inside. Okay, hopefully I did a somewhat reasonable job giving giving some sort of visual of what we're describing over here. That's my understanding of Rashi. I hope I'm right. U'kishuhu mehatko mehatko mebifnim, ve'inu mehatko mebechutz, and when tightening it, tighten it from the inside and not from the outside. So here I'm going to struggle a little bit more in terms of what exactly we mean when we're talking about tightening it. Well, once again, Rashi writes over here, Ukishu mahadko kishigamra migilgo ubalahadko yachzov mi bifnim v'yadok alachitzon kidei shelo yichase haksa bezorosav. Okay, not perfectly clear. But basically you finished rolling it, and now it's just a question of tightening it. And so there, because we don't want your arms to go over the Sefer Torah, again, it's a lack of respect for the Sefer Torah, so now you get to tighten it from the part that's closer to you so that your arms don't go over it. Okay. I don't fully see what I'm saying right now, but something along those lines. The Sfardi Torah, there are a couple of indicators in this parak. That the Ashkenazim seem to have it more, you know, the way we have a Sefer Torah seems to be more in line with what the Gemara is describing, right? In other words, remember the Gemara that we saw earlier where the daf is one on top of the other, right? That certainly gives us a horizontal, not a vertical. Okay, fine. Rav Shavtaya Am Rav Yochanan Asar Shekar B'Torah Hagadol Shavem Golov Sefer Torah. So the Gemara quotes another halacha, same Baal Memra, and also same topic. Here we're talking about Galila. So 10 people are reading from the Torah. Rashi says that we're using the number 10 over here just simply because you're not reading the Sefer Torah without 10. Okay, but this halacha is not just limited to 10. It would be anything above 10. It just happens to be we're not reading a Sefer Torah without 10 people. So Asar Shekara B'Torah, Gadol Shebehem Golo Sefer Torah. So as far as the Gadol Shebehem, so he's going to be doing the Galila. Hagolo notos char kulam. Now, in terms of the one who does Galila, so he's going to get the schar of everyone. So Damar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Asar Shekar B'Torah, Golos Sefer Torah, Kibel Schar Kulam, he gets the schar of everybody. Now, at face value, what the Gemara sounds like it's saying is that he will not only get a lot of schar, he's going to get other people's schar as well. And the Gemara immediately jumps on that. Schar Kulam, Sakadat Chalayimah, Kibel Schar, Keneged Kulan. Okay, so as far as purposes of clarification is concerned, no, he's not getting other people's schar. He's going to be getting the amount of schar tantamount to what everyone else's schar is going to be. Okay, so Galila is a big deal. Okay, it has to do with Kavanah Torah. It has to do with the Siyum HaMitzvah. Meaning, certainly we could suggest a number of reasons why Galila over here is so significant. Right, in Shul sometimes, you know, you have to do Galila. Okay, right, we discussed just a couple days ago how back in the day, when you got maftir, it was like you needed therapy after you got maftir. Because back in the day, it was like not a big covet. And nowadays, it's a huge covet to get maftir. Okay, so what happened to our, you know, what happened to our attitude? How did the attitude change over the years? Don't know. So, but a similar social comment regarding Galila, meaning the Gemara here makes the biggest deal about Galila. It's like the Gemara says that you are literally getting a tremendous amount of schar, and meanwhile, you have to do Galila and Shul. And it's like, thanks. Okay. Anyway, the Amar Rav Shavtaya Amar Rav Yochanan. By the way, if the Gemara here sounds familiar, we had a similar Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara Brachos talks about being one of the first to a minion. The Gemara there in Brachos says that if you're one of the first to the minion, you're going to get the schar of everybody. And again, the Gemara goes through the same adjustment. What do you mean? You're getting other people's schar? So the Gemara says, no, you're getting keneged schar kulan. In terms of being one of the first of the one of the first 10 people in a minyan, Amrav Shavtai, Amrav Yochanan Minayin Shemeshtamshim Bebaskol. Here comes a really interesting halacha. Now, same Baal Memra, but this is a totally different topic, and that is using a baskol. So you're trying to say over a halacha. You don't know what the halacha is. So you know what? If you hear a baskol saying it, okay, so it could be mishtamish. You could use it. Now, the Gemara over here needs a lot of explanation because Lo b'shamayim hi, meaning that's not how we determine the halacha. We do not use any kind of divine intervention in terms of determining the halacha, the Gemara b'Metzia, we all know it. So the Gemara over here is really interesting. So in a moment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to try to give somewhat of a better understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Shenemra v'azanecha tishma'ana, devar me'acharecha le'mor. So the pasuk in Yechezkel describes how you're going to be hearing something, your ears are going to be hearing something, and you could use that as a baskol in terms of helping you with a halacha. V'hani milad shama kol gavra b'masa. Gemara says if you hear the male voice in the town, v'kol isisa b'dabra, or a female voice out in the field, meaning it's unusual. In other words, what you're hearing is something which is unusual. V'hu d'amar hin hin, v'hu d'amar lav lav. And basically it is either saying yes or it's saying no. So if you hear such a baskol, so it can help you in terms of determining the halacha. Okay. The Gemara over here definitely talk about a topic that could be discussed at length. I'm not going to discuss that length, obviously, in the context of a daf, but I certainly will share Rashi. Rashi over here writes, Misham Shemek Bevaskol, so im beliba, I'm reading Rashi, im beliba lahaskol davar. So Rashi over here gives a lot of context to what we're describing over here, and that is that you have a particular idea in mind, meaning you're not like a blank slate on a particular halacha. Now, I say halacha, by the way, it could also just simply be an inyan, whatever the case is. In other words, you already have something in mind. And vishama kol ohin olav. And now you hear a voice which is either giving affirmation or rejection. So holachacher ve'ein kamishim nichosh. So that's something where now you can follow the baskol. Okay. So in terms of just helping us with a lot of context over here, so Rashi's telling us is that the baskol is not giving, it's not it's not giving you information anew. It's just either going to confirm or reject an idea that's been brewing within you. Under those circumstances, then the baskol can basically serve as an assist. Okay, that's the way Rashi says it. Still, even with that in mind, it still needs the Gemara over here needs a lot more work. Anyway, well, we go on. Amrav Shaftai, Amrav Yochan, Kol HaKori below Ni'ima, Vishona below Zimra. So anyone who is reading the Sefer Torah without Ni'ima, in other words, he's not leaning with the trup. And it sounds like from the Gemara over here, we're not just talking about leaning. We're talking about even if you're going over the Sedra. So there should be a tune. And even when doing Mishnayos, so there should be a tune. So Tosos writes over here, really interesting. Tosos, Shayu Regilim Lashanos HaMishnayos B'Zimra. Lefi Shayu Shonim Osom Malpeh. So they used to sing Mishnayos, right? Mishnayos was done with a tune. And it certainly, as we all know, songs are much easier to remember. And so you're reading the Mishnayos with a tune, so it'll help to commit to memory, right? It's fair to say that we no longer have a Masorah in terms of what of any particular tune, right? The Minhag is not to say Mishnayos with a tune, but Gemara says you should. So Vishonah below Zimra, Alava Kasav Omer v'Gamanina Satilam Chukim Lo Tovim v'Chule. Okay, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, where basically it's very critical. Now the pasuk itself obviously is not describing laning without a nigun or saying Mishnayos without a tune, but still the Gemara understands the pasuk in the context of it's really bad if you just sing the words without singing. So Maskev La Abayim Mishum De Lo Yadu LeVesume Kala. So Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. And Karisa Bey, so Abai says, look, person doesn't have a good voice. And for that, you really are going to apply the psukim in Yecheskel. It's Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. So that's a really difficult conclusion that someone is going to be strongly reprimanded just simply because he doesn't have a good voice. So Ella Kidderav Mishar Shidam Mishnein Tamid Chachamim Mayoshim Biyarachas Ve'in Nochin Zed Zeba Alacha Le Makasav Omer Ve'gam Anina Satelam Chukim Lo Tovim Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. So no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. The pasuk over here is not related. It's not relevant to the person who is saying over the Torah without a nigun. Meaning the Gemara is not rejecting the idea. Abai is not rejecting the idea. He just doesn't like applying the pasukim in Yecheskel to the person saying over the Torah without a nigun. Right, certainly recommended Mishnayos as well. If we had a nosach, but the psukim in Yecheskel are describing two Talmidei Chachamim who are living in the same town, and they just the animosity between them. They can't even talk to one another. So you can apply the psukim in Yecheskel, meaning strong reprimand for Talmidei Chachamim who cannot get along. Am Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kolochis, Sefer Torah Arum Nikvar Arum. So anyone who handles the Sefer Torah directly with their hands, in other words, it sounds like this is a function of Kavod HaTorah, and so therefore, when handling the Sefer Torah, so you should be doing so not directly with your hands, but you should have something between your hands and the Sefer Torah. And if you handle it directly with your hands, Nikvar Arum, you're going to be buried literally unclothed. But what does that mean? Arum Sagadach, the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? In other words, part of the burial process is that you dress the person up in tachrichin. So ella ema nikvar arum below mitzvah. So the Gemara says no. For the person handling the Torah directly with his hands and not having anything serving as a barrier between his hands and Sefer Torah, what it means is that you're going to be buried and you're going to be buried deplete of mitzvos. So the Gemara says what below mitzvah sakadatcha? That's harsh. So the Gemara says, "El Amar Abai Nikvar Arum Below Osa Mitzvah." So Abai says, "No. What it means is that you will have gone to your grave without this particular mitzvah. In other words, because you lack the proper respect for the Sefer Torah, handling the Sefer Torah directly with your hands. So as a result of that, so you're going to be buried without that particular mitzvah." Now Tosa struggles over here because, meaning obviously, right? If you didn't do a particular mitzvah. So when you go to the grave, you're going to be without that particular mitzvah. That's true by anything, everything. So see the last Tosos here in this parak in the Masechta, where he tries to say a pshat in the Gemara over here. Anyway, we're going to continue. Am Rabbi Yana Bered Rabbi Yana Saba Mishmei de Rabbi Yana Rabba Mut of Tigala Mitpachas Va'al Yigala Sefer Torah. So when roll from the mitpachas, the whatever the cover is to the Sefer Torah, And the Al Yigal Sefer Torah, but don't roll the Sefer Torah. Okay, again, a visual over here would be unbelievably helpful. Not perfectly clear what we're trying to describe over here, but it seems to be related to what we just said, in that when you're rolling the Sefer Torah, so roll it from the standpoint of the cover, meaning handle the cover, not the Sefer Torah. That's possibly what the Gemara means over here. I'm not particularly sure. Again, in terms of the way we roll the Sefer Torah and the motto that we use, probably a little bit different than what they used back then. So I'm trying to explain why it is that I'm struggling in terms of just giving a good visual of what the Gemara is describing over here. And finally, so the Gemara here is now working on that last line of the Mishnah, and the parak ends off with a brisa. So this is a Takanas Moshe. So in that, when you are on Yontif, so you should be topical. You should be covering the halachas of the Yontif on Yontif itself. Okay, much discussed over here in terms of, we have other Gemaras that say that Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days prior to Yontif, so you should be preparing for Yontif and learning the halachas of that particular Yontif. Over here, the Takanos Moshe that's being described over here is Sholem V'Darshim Binyana Shal Yom Hilchos Pesach Ba Pesach. You're doing it on Pesach itself. So is it 30 days before Pesach? Is it actually on Pesach itself? Okay, good. That also requires more clarification. Hanjalach Bnei Ayir. Slik Alam Masechus Megillah Mazel Tov for the completion of the Masechta. Let's just quickly recap our daf today. So brachas and klalos. So back in the day on the public fast days, so they were reading from the brachas and klalos. So halach in the Mishnah is ein mafsikim beklalos. You don't interrupt in the middle of the klalos. So the Gemara gives a couple of svaras why that should be. Has to do with an attitude. Has to do with the fact that we don't want to have a bracha on the klalos itself. And the Gemara makes a distinction. Abaye makes a distinction between the first set of klalos where this halacha applies and the second set of halachas where this halacha does not apply. What's the difference between the first and the second? So something having to do with the fact that the second one are mipi Moshe. Again, that, right, I caution the listener exactly how to understand that line of the Gemara, but the Gemara says it. Next thing that we covered this morning is that an old takana of Ezra, and that is that the tochacha should have checkpoints in the year. The first tochacha should be said before Shavuos, and the second tochacha should be said right before Rosh Hashanah, and of course that's what we do. Good, that's the that goes back to a takana of Ezra. Why? So because as we get to the beginning of a year, so we want the klalos to be at the end of the year, so that we're able to start the year fresh. Next thing that we did this morning, is where do I start? Where do I start the Sedra on Shabbos? So do I pick it up from where we last left off on Thursday morning, or do we pick it up from where we last left off last Shabbos? We all know what the halacha is. The Gemara says the halacha is that we pick it up on Shabbos where we last left off last Shabbos. How to get an aliyah? Okay, the Gemara here on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph has a machlokas tanayim. Whether before you make the brachas haTorah, should the Sefer Torah be rolled up first and then make the bracha, or should we keep the Sefer Torah open? Gemara's conclusion is you should keep the Sefer Torah open. Again, a lot of halachas that I did not go over this morning. We just went over the machlokas haTanayim. And then the Gemara quotes a number of halachas b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Luchos and Bima don't have Kedusha. Luchos and Bima over here, Luchos, Rashi really struggled. Bima is the platform for the king at Hakel. In terms of Galila, we learned a couple of halachas regarding Galila this morning. When doing Galila, it has to be ala tfar, it has to be on the seam. The Gemara gives us halachas in terms of how to roll the Sefer Torah when you're by yourself. The Gemara talked about the significance of Galila, no tel schar kulan, or no tel schar keneged kulam. Okay, so there's a big inyan in doing the Galila. The Gemara made a comment regarding being mishtamish bebaskol. Again, a really interesting comment, really requiring a lot more understanding. The significance of when reading from a Sefer Torah, learning the Sefer Torah, and even learning Mishnayos as well, it has to be b'ne'ima. You have to do it with a pleasant tune. And the Okay, and then finally, when handling the Sefer Torah, so you should be careful not to be making direct contact with your hand on the Sefer Torah, but if possible, so something should be a barrier between your hand and the actual Sefer Torah itself, presumably having to do with the Kavod HaTorah. Adkan.